He is to write a copy of the Torah for himself in a scroll from the one of the Kohanim, from one of the priests, and the Levim in use. Okay, and the priests, the ones they use. It is to remain with him. He's to carry it around with him all the time. And he is to read it every day, as long as he lives. Every day, as long as he lives. So that he will learn to fear Adonai, his God, and keep all the words of the Torah and these laws and obey them. So that he will not think he is better than his kinsmen. In other words, he's not special. He doesn't live in the gated community with the Mercedes. And, you know, he's got the palace and all these people waiting and orbiting around him. He identifies with the average common man so that he might have empathy. And so that he will not turn aside either to the right or the left from Adonai's mitzvot. Says right there, this is the reason. So he will keep God's law. He will not be above the law. He also must be subject to the laws and rulings. In this way, he will prolong his own reign. In other words, if you don't do this, your reign's over. And that of his children in Israel, his descendants. In Deuteronomy 18, 1 through 8, it discusses the Kohanim who are Levites, Leviim, and the whole tribe of Levi, which is not to have an inheritance with Israel. Instead, their support will come from the food offered by fire to Adonai and from whatever else becomes his. They will have no inheritance with their brothers because Adonai is their inheritance, as he has said to them. The Kohanim will have the right to receive from the people, from those offering a sacrifice, whether ox or sheep, the shoulder, the jowls, and the stomach. You will also receive, give him the first fruits of your grain, new wine, and olive oil, and the first of the fleece of your sheep. For Adonai your God has chosen him from all your tribes to stand and serve in the name of Adonai, him and his sons forever. If a Levi from one of your towns anywhere in Israel where he is living comes highly motivated to the place which Adonai will choose, then he will serve there in the name of Adonai his God, just like his kinsmen, the Leviim, who stand and serve in the presence of Adonai. Such a Levi will receive the same share as they do, in addition to what he may receive from it selling his inherited ancestral property. Now, the priesthood was real important, in that they didn't own anything, and that kept them free from acquiring properties because they couldn't have them dishonestly, such as Jezebel killing Naboth for his vineyard so that Ahab could have it. And also the Levi were to judge. If the civil suit, which is too difficult, before the elders at the gate, then it went to the Levi and then to the high priest in the Sanhedrin. And I'm going to read a little commentary about that because it's really important. As it says here, that the Lord Adonai is their inheritance, as he has said to them, because the Lord is their portion, he is their source of livelihood, and they are to receive their due from the people who look to them as a priesthood. Now, this is a whole topic, but I believe, is keep them dependent upon God as their source and not looking to doing real estate deals and whatever, because they were also judges. They were judges. The next section that, and I think the order is really important here because it's laying out an order of authority that even Moses, when he set up, he was judging everybody in the camp of the Israelites, and it became too much, and he designated 70 that would rule the harder cases, and then there would be an elder over each tribe that would rule over the simpler cases, and this same order or format is in operation even today. The next thing that is addressed is when you enter, is really idolatry. When you enter the land Adonai is giving you, are not to learn how to follow the abominable practices of these nations. There must not be found among you anyone who makes his son or daughter pass through the fire, a diviner, a soothsayer, an enchanter, a sorcerer, a spellcaster, a consulter of ghosts or spirits, or a necromancer. For whoever does these things is detestable to Adonai, and because of these abominations, Adonai, your God, is driving them out ahead of you. You must be wholehearted with Adonai, your God. For these nations which you are about to dispossess, listen to soothsayers and diviners, which we know are demonic spirits operating behind them, who oppose the one God. But you, Adonai, your God, does not allow you to do this, because it will lead people into idolatrous practices and listening to demonic spirits. Nowhere does it disqualify that these kind of things aren't valid, that they do operate. Soothsayers, enchanters, sorcerers, spellcasters, consulter of ghosts or spirits, these have power of demons. Spellcaster, consulter of ghosts, and necromancer, this is detestable. These are abominations to God. And even the mixtures of Kabbalah and Zohar, all of those are participants in broken cisterns and idolatrous spiritism and consultation, forms of witchcraft, divination. Next, and it breaks the covenant of God, the commandment, don't make any idols, you shall have no other gods before me, you shall love me with all your heart and soul and strength and mind. The Ten Commandments, the sign of covenant and faith in Yeshua. Now let's look at this next section here. Because as soon as it addresses the occult arts, then it goes into what a real prophet is. Adonai will raise up for you a prophet like me from among yourselves, from your own kinsmen. You are to pay attention to him. Just like Moses, the only prophet that has been raised up like Moses, the only one, okay, is Yeshua. And I'll read this passage and then I'll give you a comparisons of the offices that Moses fulfilled and then the offices that Yeshua fulfilled like Moses. You are to pay attention to him just as when you were assembled at Horeb and requested Adonai your God. Don't let me hear the voice of Adonai my God anymore, or let me see this great fire ever again. If I do, I will die. On that occasion, Adonai said to me, they are right in what they are saying. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their kinsmen. I will put my words in his mouth and he will tell them everything I ordered him. Whoever doesn't listen to my words, which he will speak in my name, you will have to account for himself to me. But if a prophet presumptuously speaks a word in my name, which I didn't order him to say, or if he speaks in the name of other gods, then that prophet must die. You must be wondering, how are we to know if a word has not been spoken by Adonai? When a prophet speaks in the name of Adonai, and the prediction does not come true, that is, the word is not fulfilled, then Adonai did not speak that word. That prophet who spoke it presumptuously, you have nothing to fear from him. All right. These are not only these the definitions of the prophetic office, but the prophet, like Moses, is fulfilled, which Yeshua said to the Pharisees and the religious leaders in the temple of his day, if you would have believed of Moses, he taught of me. But since you don't believe Moses, how can you believe me? So the prophet like Moses was a forerunner of Yeshua, the Messiah, in all ways. He was born under life-threatening danger and had to be hidden away. So was Yeshua. Yahshua and Moses. Moses means to pull him out of the water. Yahashua means salvation. Moses didn't cling to his glory, neither did Yeshua. But he identified with the people in slavery. When Jesus emptied himself for the sake of his people. Moses was rejected by his people when he came the first time. So was it with Yeshua? He was rejected and despised. Moses came back to Israel after a long time, being out in the wilderness, and so will Yeshua the Messiah. Moses was sent directly to confront Pharaoh and destroy his magic powers. Yeshua was the Son of God, revealed that he might destroy the works of Satan. Moses was to set his people from the slavery of Pharaoh in Egypt. And in the same way that Yeshua was to bring us free, break us free from the slavery of sin and death by being crucified on the cross. He took our sins and sicknesses. Moses revealed the sacred name to the people, and Yeshua is the sacred name. Hoshianu, please save us, Yeshua, our salvation. Moses performed unusual miracles. Yeshua also performed unusual miracles in opening the eyes of the blind, cleansing lepers, healing the lame, driving out demons, and raising the dead. Moses spoke Hashem's word, will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall speak, in Exodus 4:12b. And Yeshua also said, don't think I came to destroy the Torah or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For most assuredly, I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not even one smallest letter, one tiny pen stroke shall any way pass away from the Torah until all things are accomplished. The word Torah, the first five books of Moses, Messiah did not do away with them, but to confirm it and live it out perfectly so that he will be the perfect, unblemished, sinless offering for all of our sins. Moses was called of God, and Yeshua, and the word was God. 1 John 1:1, that's Yeshua. And God also highly exalted him and gave him the name which is above every name. Philippians 2:9. And his throne, God, is forever and ever. Hebrews 1:8a. So there are many, many role parallels that Moses' ministry points to the greater ministry of Yeshua, the Son of God, who is perfect and fulfills the word, the Torah, and the feast. He is the feast. All right, this is a brush, a broad stroke of the kingdom principles, because Yeshua is the Torah made flesh. He's the word made flesh, according to 1 John. He does not change. Heaven and earth will pass away, but not a jot or tittle of the word made flesh, Yeshua, will pass away. Your kingdom come, your will be done. It's by abiding in these principles that we learn righteousness, and that the Messiah gives us the ability by the Ruach HaKodesh to live the higher life. And my primary example of that is in Deuteronomy 21. If there's been a murder, and actually it's an unintentional murder, the murderer can flee, and this was actually in the prior parsha, if there's been a murder that no one knew who did it. This is Deuteronomy 21. But in the prior parsha it says that if a murder has been committed unintentionally regarding an axe head that comes off, it is in this. If the axe head comes off and kills someone, yes, here it is, Deuteronomy 19. For example, would be if a man goes into the forest with his neighbor to cut wood and takes a stroke with the axe to fell a tree, but the head of the axe flies off the handle, hits his neighbor and kills him. There he is to flee to one of these cities and live there. All right, these were cities of refuge. There were three and three on each side of the Jordan. And nine if they so needed. They did not have a prison system. A prison system does not deal justly with criminals, with crimes, with lawbreakers. It delays justice. It is the incorrect penalties, cities of refuge, and dealing with restitution for thefts or accidents are all that these are all laid out in the Levitical law. And this is justice delayed is justice denied. As I said, anyway, back to this, otherwise this killing, accidental killing, otherwise the next of kin avenger in the heat of his anger may pursue the killer, overtake him, because the distance of the city of refuge is long, and strike him dead. So the cities of refuge had to be close. And even though he didn't deserve to die, inasmuch as he hadn't hated him in the past. Ah, the qualifier. Having hatred in your heart, premeditated murder is not like accidental manslaughter, okay? And what does this say? Jesus said, look, if you're even angry in your heart, if you have hatred in your heart, it's the same as having murder. This is not a lessening of the law. This is a greater accountability of the laws of God, because we have the Holy Spirit and our hearts must be pure. So I'm going to conclude with that now. I charge you to do some of your own studies. This is just addressing righteous government, that we may practice God's government, because he does not change. This will be the government of the millennium. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, Lord. And thank you in Yeshua's name.